And I wondered how long you've been on the force in Westboro, police force?
Been on for a little over 23 years now.
23?
Came on in May of 1960.
And what are some of the changes that you have seen in Westboro? And those changes, how do they affect the police department?
Well, I think basically, a lot of the changes I've seen is that Westboro has gone from a small, rural, somewhat farming community to a high-tech industry business now. When I first come on, I think the population was somewhere around 6,000 or 7,000 people. The biggest industry we had at that particular time, and probably one of the only ones, the major ones, was Bay State Abrasives and Bullet Abrasives. And there were maybe 10 or 12 farms at that particular time. And a lot of wide open land.
Mm-hmm.
The downtown area was basically the big thing. The rest of it was there weren't that many homes. You start going out over a mile outside the center of Westboro, you were very, very rural.
What types of work then were the police involved in? What kinds of problems would you be dealing with on it?
Well, basically, we're dealing with the same type of problems we deal today, except there weren't as many.
All right.
So,
what was the police force? How many were on the police force?
At that time, the police department consisted of a chief, a sergeant, and four police officers, and one secretary.
And what is it now?
We have a chief, a lieutenant, five sergeants, 15 police officers, two secretaries, and three dispatchers.
Three dispatchers? No. Okay. What does the lieutenant do? What would be his duties?
His scope of operation, he's second in command.
Mm-hmm.
And he handles training and education. He handles court procedures and firearms regulations. And he oversees a lot of the day-to-day operations.
Right, and your five sergeants, what are they?
Well, four of the sergeants are patrol supervisors. One on each shift. The other sergeant is the detective sergeant.
What does he do?
And he is in charge of all investigations that may be assigned to him, such as breaks, checks, rapes, anything that requires further investigations.
And the patrol officers or patrolmen will be the first ones probably to discover something, right?
That is correct. What they do is they make the initial report of if they're called to a break. And then a copy of that will go to the detective, and then he will follow up on it.
And there, you don't need more than one detective. One detective seems to be enough.
Well, I have two detectives opening, but I've never been able to fill the second slot because of manpower shortages or sickness or injuries. So.
Mm-hmm. But at least the workload in the detective area is, it can be handled by one.
Not really.
One and a half.
I need two, but mm-hmm. It is being handled now by one, and it is somewhat, it's not, I like to keep on top of things. A lot of times, you know, things, if they start getting 2 weeks old or something, then sometimes it's
hard to follow up.
It's
sure.
Hard to follow up on.
And your three dispatchers, what are they?
They handle all the communications of taking the calls from residents or from people who come in and dispatching the cruisers.
Now, are they male and female? Are they women?
They are both.
Two and one? How does it work out?
Yeah, I have two female and one male.
Now, do you have any female police officers, police women?
My two secretaries that I have.
Yeah, as far as the secretaries, you said they are police women.
Well, they...
Or...
I have one, which is my secretary that's right out here, Sheila. She handles all my rape investigations, child abuse, battered women type of thing.
So she is a trained police officer?
Dual function.
She is a trained police officer?
Yes.
Okay.
She has all the necessary training.
Okay. So basically, it is one policewoman and then another secretary. Now, it was listed in the old histories that constables were elected by the town. Do you have any idea what constables did or what they were?
You really want to know what it was?
Yes, I really do.
I think it was a popularity contest.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any function with the police department?
Basically, if you go back through history, the constables, I guess originally, if you've talked with Glenn and everything else, they weren't police officers at that particular time, they were constables. And it's come down through common law, I guess, that through the old Yankee history and everything else, that a constable was an officer of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, constables today, of which our police officers are sworn constables, is to serve civil process papers.
That's meaning what? Function. What's a civil process
well,
paper?
Well, if somebody came in with a lawyer came in with a summons to serve a person to appear in court on a civil action, one person against another person, we could serve that process.
All right. And then they posted the warrant, too, in the long
and
ago. That was part of that.
The warrant, right.
All right. But there were eight of them back in the 1880s, maybe right up to the 1920s. But they weren't involved in police functions?
They used to, I know back in the 50s, they used to have a vote of constables also because, well, maybe if you talk with Walter Perrin, his father was a police officer, and I can remember a lot of times that...
I was told that COP stands for Constable on Patrol. Have you heard of that? Could be.
Oh, a long time ago. I don't know whether there's any...
Truth to that or not. Okay. I know that police officers were assigned specific areas way back then. There was one in the town hall. And do you do the same thing? Do you assign your officers to particular areas?
Some of my sergeants assign them to sector patrols in different areas of town. Sometimes I don't agree with that, depending on how many people we have on duty. A lot of times I like to have them, some place, say one person checks the high school, and 10 minutes later another person goes up and checks the high school. Well, at least they're overlapping each other. And sometimes it becomes repetitious, and if you get the criminal element out there watching us or something, you never know when they're going to be around.
And that's better to keep people off.
It's better. So.
Off balance. How many sergeants or patrolmen would you have per shift?
It varies.
Well, ideally.
Well, with a full complement of people of what I have, basically, on the day shift, I would have one sergeant and three officers.
Mm-hmm.
On a 4-to-12 shift, I would have one sergeant and five officers. On a midnight day, I would have one sergeant and three officers.
Need less? Well, no. Midnight to 8 would be the same as a daytime shift, but there would be increased from 4 to 12.
At sometimes, depending on shifts, I have 7 and 8 on a 4 to 12 shift. It's because the way that I have some people work on a 5 and 2 schedule, mm-hmm. I have other people work on a 4 and 2 schedule. And sometimes, when certain times when they roll around, they're all together
at one
time.
They're all together at one time, right. Now, with the growth of Westboro into a high-tech industrial town with perhaps 30,000, would you guess 30,000 daytime
easily.
Population? What kinds of problems are the police dealing with now?
Traffic problems.
Is that maybe the...
Morning and afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Particularly through town, is that the one that's the main problem? Or everywhere coming
everywhere.
Out of...
But with the traffic problems, we also have more accidents.
Are your... Your police officers do the ambulance, the fire?
We run with the fire department. The ambulance calls have gone up tremendously. Every time the ambulance goes out, a police cruiser does respond, sometimes two. I have 15 trained EMTs, and we do split patrol with the fire department over the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
They may go on some more runs than we do because I don't have all my personnel as trained EMTs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't have any available, other times I might have five on a shift, so it all depends. We work back and forth. Sometimes it might be two police officers going on the ambulance and no firefighters, and other time, more often than not, probably two firefighters, no police officers. But the police will go to the scene anyway.
Is it usually an accident that they're going to, or any call for an ambulance?
And it seems like that's gone out of sight percentage-wise.
It has. Do you have any idea how many ambulance calls last year?
I would say we're probably up over 800 a year now.
And particularly because of traffic and growth?
Doing accidents, when we do a lot of security escorts, where we escort people to banks, especially during the daytime, business dropping money off, kind of encourage that, and it gives us a visibility also of being in shopping centers, at banks. So I look at it as a two-point, you know, we're doing a service and we're also being very visible in these different areas.
That's part of your philosophy, at least Officer Park was saying, that being visible in high mobile areas. Why is that?
Because I think that the more visible you are in your high crime areas or your high accident rate area or speed areas or something like this, it is a deterrent.
Mm-hmm. And that those areas are where? High crime.
Well, the big problem we have right now was over the last 2 years, shoplifting.
And that has grown in Westboro, obviously.
Shopping centers are getting converted down there. And if we're keeping people down there all the time, a lot of times it's got to be. How many people turned away because they see the police down there?
Right.
We have no way of measuring
that's
it.
That's right. It's one of those abstracts, but you hope.
But we've got to be cutting down on it.
Since you have been in the force, how many shopping centers have come in since 1960?
They were all over the place. The only shopping center that we had in the 1960s was right here in the center of town. We had the AMP, the First National stores, all your little...
Where was the AMP and First National?
Well, First National is where the Town Rexall is. Not that Town Rexall, the Circle store. That was the First National. The AMP is over on Summer Street where the karate place is now.
And there was no Iandoli's?
There was no Iandoli's. We had a hardware store.
When did the Iandoli Shopping Center and Post Office go in?
Iandoli's must have come in about, I would say, early 60s.
Okay, early 60s. And then the next shopping center would be West Meadow?
Sometime in the 70s.
Yeah, and then
Julio's,
which is growing all the time, and so is West Meadow. That's basically it, isn't it?
That's basically it. And then you got the little ones down on Route 9 next to Wendy's. You got a little shopping center in there.
Mm-hmm. So, and shoplifting, what about stealing cars? Does that have been a problem?
Well,
Officer Parker thought that it had dropped since Lyman School left with it. Yeah, that your
I was
going
to say, it's gone way down since Lyman School, because that was one of our biggest problems throughout, probably since 1849 up through 19, in the 60s somewhere. At one time, Lyman School used to have probably 400 delinquents up there, and they ranged anywhere from truancy to...
Hardcore
criminals, and of course, I think are also, when they used to break out, the first thing they used to do was either steal a car or break into somebody's house, get food and clothes.
And you did have people breaking in quite a bit. Do you have any idea how many per year, or week, or month?
Oh, we used to, in the Lima School, sometimes they used to break out 18, 20 at a time. Sometimes there'd be two or three at a time. They used to take the old car tracks, Boston, Worcester Railway. You know where that is?
No, I'll tell you where that is.
Actually, it's the road that runs between Caldor's and Julio Shopping Center.
All right.
Well, that's the old car tracks, and it runs through there, and it runs right back of Shepherd Road.
Mm-hmm. Where you grew up?
Yes, where I grew up. I lived in a big house right around that whole complex.
Now, was that
Cedar Road and Shepherd Road.
Was that trolleys or
that was
trolley, the trolley tracks that ran alongside Route 9 then?
Right.
And they could follow that right to Boston if they didn't steal a car, obviously. If they did steal a car.
So a lot of them used to, well, the younger ones, they wouldn't steal a car, they'd just run.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we'd always wind up a lot of times catching them.
It was the Westboro Police Force's responsibility?
There was a police force also that with the Lyman School, their security personnel were also sworn in as special police officers at that particular time, and they used to be out a lot. Mm-hmm.
And those that did steal cars, Officer Parker was saying, would dump them sometimes in near Boston, and yet they would sometimes return to Westboro, steal a car there and come back to Lyman School and drop the car here. Can't quite figure out why they'd come back.
Well, maybe it wasn't as great in Boston as it was out here in the country life. Who knows? Yeah.
So you had a lot, one or two a week maybe, as many as that?
No,
not that many.
On a daily basis, they were getting out of Lyman School.
Wow, that was a lot.
I would say they'd have at least 20 a week.
20 at the end, when late 60s or whatever. That was closed in 1970 or so? About that.
Somewhere around that. They were always forever getting out of there. And it would sometimes it'd be just one or two. Other times there'd be 15 to 20 going at once.
You had your hands full, obviously. Has, since Lyman School is closed, however, but there's more traffic and more people, has car theft been a problem as much?
Mostly the car thefts now are either organized crime related,
mm-hmm.
which, for example, would be like you take Fountainhead or Carlton Arms or Park Village. You've got young people coming in with who have been told to get a certain type of car, maybe a Lincoln Continental or a Cadillac, or they need a Ford, something like this. And it's all, what they do is organized crime, filter on down, they get the young 15, 16-year-old kids, give them $20 or something to go steal a certain type of car and bring it, drop it off at such and such a location. So we have car thefts such as that, and then we have the car thefts for joyride. But that has been seen to calm down quite somewhat.
Well, that's at least something positive. But cars would be stolen mainly from a lot of apartment complexes,
usually,
too?
Usually apartment complexes or places like West Meadow or Julia's,
mm-hmm.
where there was a lot of cars.
As far as, how would you characterize Westboro as far as its crime rate? It seems like a relatively low. There's no hardcore street, not a lot of street crime as you'd have in a big city.
No, we don't. We're fortunate in that aspect. Maybe it's good police work. I don't know. I'd like to
give you the benefit of the doubt then.
But basically, when you're in a town, of course, it's a little different when I first came on because I could walk down the street and call everybody by name and know everybody type of thing because everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, days you're getting, especially in your apartment complexes or even like buying houses, they're here today and gone 2 years
mm-hmm.
from now or something type of thing. But when Westboro was in the 60s, Little Braun brought up here, lived here, you stayed here, so you had to know everybody.
Now, did you have foot patrolmen at all?
We used a combination of foot patrol and cruise control, which we still use. Not as much now because we're starting to get drawn out and spread out all over the place, but we still have men assigned down the downtown area for.
I see mostly traffic, but.
Mostly traffic.
Not so much walking a beat, particularly. But
well, back in the 60s, walking the beat down there, that's where everybody gathered. That's where everybody came to say hello and talk and everything, and youngsters and oldsters and everything else. And, nowadays, they might meet up the West Meadow Plaza or Julio's or something and have their conversation and everything else.
So that you have to be a lot more mobile at one time, the police didn't have their own cars, I think.
That is correct.
Do you know what?
They used to use their own cars.
Do you know until?
Well, I think that went back until about 1949, I think. Fifty somewhere, either one or the other. That's when the Westboro's got its first police car. And I think it got the first ambulance in around that time, too. Previous to that, they used to use the hearse.
For an ambulance, I would think.
That's correct.
A jolt if you're not feeling well.
The copper up here, was the one that did all the calls as far as we needed to have somebody taken to the hospital. They took him in the hearse, so.
Hopefully they could overcome the shock of seeing a hearse coming to get them, live long enough to get to the hospital. And then, well, what, how many police cruisers do you have now?
We have six. Back when I came on, we had one.
And how?
And then in 1965, I think, we acquired a second vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And it has grown until now. You have six, and they are all radio equipped. And
I might add, back in the 60s, when we first came on, I would say probably for 5 or 6 years, that after 5 o'clock at night, there was nobody at the police station. It was just the one room over at the town hall. All of the calls came into the fire station, and the firemen answered the calls after 5 o'clock at night, from 5 o'clock in the night to 8 o'clock the next morning, and they dispatched all radio messages to us.
Is this because of a lack of manpower, or just that there wasn't that much demand and need, too?
Well, the
I would
town
think there'd be
never
more, but
really wanted to put up the money, I guess. It wasn't a very well-paying job at that particular point.
But you would think break-ins might occur at night, or, but they
and we used to run with the department. There used to be one person on.
All right. So, tell me again, the personnel in the 60s was one?
One chief.
One chief and one?
One sergeant and four police officers.
And there would be one on at a time with
That's
the chief?
Right. And we used to work 48 hours per week. We used to work 6 days a week. I used to have Wednesdays off. And I think when I first came to work, my pay for 48 hours, gross pay, was $67.25.
Only fair.
So that by the time that they took out all my deductions and everything else, if I took home $50, I was lucky. But And we always used to work our days off on extra details because we needed
the extra money.
The extra money.
And then, however, Westboro
In the 60s,
more.
It started to, started to grow.
By 75, I know, it was quite big.
You can see they projected the growth by the number of schools they built and everything else. And they back in the 70s, they wanted to build another one, which got, I think, the biggest town meeting they ever had with over 1,200 people there. So.
Which was very good of Westboro to be farsighted. I'd like to get into the facilities that you had in Town Hall and the facilities you have now. This is the new facility in the Forbes School, or in Forbes Building now. Is it the entire first floor?
Entire first floor.
And when did you move in?
We moved in October of last year.
1982. And what facilities do you have here?
Basically, a separate dispatch area. I'll try to go room by room.
Okay.
Like that. I've got a detective's office, sergeant's office, a kitchen area, an evidence room.
What would be, when would you use evidence room? Anytime?
That's anytime that the officers pick up any fruits of the crime. Any evidence seized in a crime, fruits of a crime.
Sounds interesting. I like fruits of a crime. That's nice.
Which may be from stolen property, like we just had $3,000 worth of equipment that was stolen out of Caldors that we recovered. And we have that all stored in there. Shoplifting, we catch the people, we got to take and keep the evidence, or we make a drug raid or something. all this evidence is in one locked area, secure area, which I have a key to and my detective sergeant has a key to, so that if it ever winds up missing, then there's only two people that...
would be responsible for finding out why, anyway. All right, that's the evidence room, then.
So then we have a little lobby area out in the, before the dispatch area. And off the dispatch area, we have our communications room where all our radio equipment is, our alarms panels.
Now, those, what is your alarm panels at?
The alarm panels are businesses or homes, residential homes, that have alarms that are hooked into the police department.
Has that grown?
Well, I think we had about four or five when I first came on in 1960, and I would say that we have, last count, probably 125, 130.
It has grown.
And probably will continue to grow.
Are they mainly businesses or both?
They're both.
They're both.
I would say probably 75% are businesses. Mm-hmm. They take up a lot of time with, in fact, we instituted false alarm penalties against a lot of these people because last year we answered somewhere around 1,200 alarms, of which 99.9% or something are false alarms type of thing. So
just by they're shutting the door.
They're not trained to take and
turn
the
off or whatever. It's too bad. That's a lot of wasted time on your part, too.
And we send sometimes 2 and 3 cruisers to an alarm, but you never know when it's real. We respond to all alarms, so that, you know, that's 1,200 calls that we had to respond to.
Is the penalty a fine?
We give them up to 3 free alarms. After that, it costs them $25 for a false alarm.
Sounds fair. All right. And what else is in your communications room?
And we keep our, like, our portable radios in there to have them charged and recharged. All the light controls, panels are all in that area.
For the entire building?
Well, no, for the entire first floor.
First floor, okay. And your cruisers are in contact with each other, with the headquarters?
Yeah, that's all through the dispatcher.
Through the dispatcher. And also with your fire department?
They have a ring down line right at the dispatch area. It's a phone that they just pick up, and it just rings until somebody picks up on the other end.
And also hooked into DPW, I was told, in some cases. Is that right?
Well, we have a radio that is we brought over from across the way that we were supposed to have an antenna installed. It hasn't been done yet.
It's one of those things. Okay, so
I
that's
don't have the finances to take and have that all done, and that's something we've got to work on again and see if we can get the antenna installed so we can have the conversation with him.
All right, and anything else in your communications besides
fire basically,
alarms, portable radios and lights?
All the alarms panels, all the radio communications are usually in there. What we did, when I say radio communications, we have a remote control that goes out to the dispatch area, so that's how they transmit out there.
Okay. Now, what other rooms would you have?
Lieutenant has his own office.
Then there's, on the other end, of the, as you enter, this booking area.
That's the booking area.
What happens, and also the garage, and this is new, right?
That's right. The garage has been added. It's a drive-through garage. You can hold up 3 vehicles. Also has a 10x40 storage area in there.
This is something you didn't have at all before.
We didn't have before.
And so, why is it important to have?
Why is it, you wouldn't believe it,
but it
the conglomeration of things that we pick up. You know, we find a bicycle or somebody reports a bicycle was found or something and we have it. We got an old big phonograph or something that somebody turned in that they found somewhere sitting out there.
Something people think is valuable, perhaps, in there.
Pieces of evidence that you pick up at a crime scene sometime from a, say, an accident or something. It might be a bumper and headlights type of thing.
Okay.
Things just
accumulate.
Accumulate something fierce. So.
Also, why was it important for you to have a drive-in garage that locked?
Well, basically, that when you bring a prisoner in, I don't know if you remember how we came in off the side of the building. We had to go down 3 steps, 4 steps, and then we had to step up, and then we had to take them and down the stairs in the lower level, or real lower level of the town halls, more downstairs. And for security purposes, when you've got a prisoner and you bring him in, the doors are controlled by the dispatcher. You just tell them to open the rear door, and he'll open the rear door. They'll close the rear door and then put it on a locked position. So if you got a prisoner that's very combative, he can just run around inside the garage. He didn't want to get out. And it's basically for security reasons. Also, during the wintertime, you get real heavy snowstorms. Nice to be able to keep a couple fresh cruisers right inside. I've seen the time that we've had 2 cruisers down at one time because of the windshield wipers and motors that froze up, and you couldn't operate those 2 cruisers in the wintertime because you couldn't operate the windshield.
Before this, all cruisers were outside?
All cruisers were outside. And when we used to have them over there, I can recall we had some bad news back in the early 60s that always trying to